The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Rolling. This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. And Kingy, the roller coaster ride of the cat season continues. Another classic on, when was it? Saturday?
Sunday,
that's right. I'm getting my days mixed up.
Four days ago, Ben.
They
how
all
are
end
you?
In Y. Yeah, look, I'm pretty good. The Cats were on the wrong end of it on Sunday, Kingy, after being on the right end of it the previous week against Collingwood. So
swings and roundabouts, Ben.
That's right. They were inaccuracy in front of goal. Kicked the, cost them 5-9 to 7-2. I think they had 11 more inside 50s in the second half. The coach they dominated. I don't know. I think that's a stretch. But
what did the stats tell you for Kerr's Hire?
Well, sometimes they can be misleading. Geelong did have more inside 50s. But I don't know that they dominated. No. That was the expression he used.
They were two very good teams going.
Yeah, they were. It was a great game. Yep. Good game of footy. Blitzar's missing.
Sean Manor, probably another miss. Moment.
Patrick Dangerfield should have run into the goals and had a shot rather than try to pass. I've no idea.
Unselfish?
Yes, he's being unselfish. I love it when you're a bit selfish, Kingy.
Yeah. But maybe Sean Manor was being selfish. Patrick Dangerfield was being unselfish and we ended up with the same result.
Not like Bex. Apparently he's very unselfish.
Who?
Bex.
As in David Beckham?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
According to Posh.
Right, okay. He was a good player.
Was that what...
is that what you call it?
No, is that what Posh is?
Benny, yeah. I don't want to be caught.
No, that's...
Yeah, can we move on?
What about when he got caught offside?
No.
By Ali G.
Ali G, yeah. Now you're stealing Ali G. Yeah. Look, for those who like a little bit of adult humour, I do commend to you...
We have mentioned this before.
Yeah, Ali G interviewing Posh and Bex on some sort of comic relief.
And no, it's on his show, wasn't it?
No, I think it was a comic relief thing.
No, it's A1 comedy.
Yeah, it is very good.
There wasn't too much comedy Saturday night, though, Kingy. It was on for Donkey Kong, wasn't it?
Sunday.
I keep thinking it's Saturday. The Cats haven't played on Sunday for so long.
Well, they hadn't played it. It'd been 10 years since they'd played a Sunday 3:20 game down
here. What do we like about the game?
What do we like about it? Mm. Two teams willing to take the game on.
Yep.
Like, as in, like, you know, let's ping the ball through the middle and try and find the most direct route to goal. Two defences who were happy to, you know, attack as well and didn't try and save the game. They both tried to win the game.
Yeah.
Even GWS, I think, was still trying to win the game, even with a narrow lead. They were trying to still find another goal. What did I like about the Cats? Gee, Blitzar, despite the miss, he was huge.
He was good. He was very
Which
good.
Makes you, do you have a decision to make? Now, I don't know whether Port Adelaide gets Sweet back or he goes against the other F1 driver in Dante Vizzentini or not, but I'd be leaving. If you've only got a five-day turnaround, now Stanley, I believe, well, Stanley, Jack Henry,
Stewart.
Lawson Humphreys, Tom Stewart, look like they're all available. The question is, five-day turnaround into the Dogs with a trip home, so you're really not getting home. You'll play Saturday. I think they get out Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, it's a quarter past four game, so you'd think that, although Adelaide does shut at about five.
But anyway, you're still, you know, quick turnaround into the Dogs, whether they go, do you know what, we just try and go over there, back what we've got, you know, nearly beat the Giants without these blokes. And I think the Giants are a superior opposition to Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Do you back them in and then, you know, roll, you know, X amount of them out, you know, this weekend and X amount. Not
well, the other side of the coin is, do you get a little game time into them and then have them cherry ripe for the Bulldogs?
Well, yeah, there's arguments both ways. And I suspect that's what right now Chris Scott and his match committee are weighing up this afternoon. They will, you know, get all the data from training, go, okay, where are these blokes at? And at 6:20, we'll get an indication of what it looks like.
With Humphreys and Stewart, you'd think Humphreys and Stewart come back in?
Humphreys, definitely.
Yeah, I would have thought Stewart as well. Yeah. I mean, he's missed six weeks.
Well, he was close last week.
He's missed 3 weeks.
Stanley's an interesting one. He only did that hamstring, what, now?
So they're saying he's
a guy.
I'd be certainly bringing Stanley back.
Yep.
I think your flexibility then with Blitzarves goes through the roof. So if he's available, I certainly would be playing him.
You can survive without Jack Henry maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
Jack Henry one more week. Although you're missing a lot of footy.
I reckon he's a great matchup for Georgiades.
Yeah, first up, though. I mean, look, I think he is too, Kingy. I mean, how fit is he? How much has he been able to do with the hamstring? You know, do you...
Geelong are always concerned.
Is it hard to manage his game time given the position he plays, probably? Pardon me, King. I've just swallowed some sort of fly, I think.
You're right.
So it's an interesting one with Henry because, yeah, do you play him and then risk him being sore for the Bulldogs, but do you then wait for the Bulldogs and risk him having missed so much time that he's sort of off the boil? You can't. Can you play him and then manage his minutes? I don't know about that, the position. Oh, I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there, Tom, isn't there? There's a lot to unpack. I liked the other thing I like, Kingy, and I liked Busey's game.
Busey's game was outstanding.
What about when he rang the coach and just said, look, I think you need to play, play me this week.
Yeah.
That was pretty forthright from the number 24.
But it gives you an idea of the, I suppose, the culture down there that players can do that. No, look, I'm not saying that Mitch Nevitt's picking up the phone and telling Chris Scott, I'm right to go.
Do you reckon Jay Polkinghorne's rung him and said, look, if you don't play me this week, but, I'm walking out.
But the players that are of that.
Yeah, look, and it was good on Busey for going down that path because he saw an opportunity. I will say, Kingy, I think that if Stewart and Lawson Humphreys come back in, on Watch Your Buse, he's a much better option than O'Shane Mullen.
Yep.
Like, infinitely.
And maybe a better option than Mitch Duncan.
Well, Mitch has been okay. Mitch has been better than Mullen. I think time, yeah. Look,
Mullen might need to go and get
it. There's jury outs on, I mean, and we're going to talk about Jai Clark. I think he's...
He'll be omitted.
He'll be omitted. I think Mullen has to be omitted.
Yep.
He's offering you donuts.
Although, will he go to a Rosie or a Butters or similar?
The football IQ between Rosie and Mullen, the gap between those two is off the charts. Absolutely. I just think time's up with Mullen. I don't know what he's offering you. He just doesn't get the ball. He maybe defends. Can he go into the midfield? He did a great job on Dacos for one quarter. The other three quarters, he got his pants pulled down. I don't know. They've given him some time, a bit like Jai Clark. I mean, Jai Clark had two possessions in, what, 2.5 quarters, was it? Yeah, that's not ideal. I'll probably have to start...
Three.
Start changing my tune with Jai Clark. I've been a fan, but... Geez, but
Ted Close, he didn't give much as a sub either.
No, he gave you donuts. The club seemed to love Mullen for some reason. I'm not seeing it in the same way they are. Not to say he hasn't contributed at times, but by and large, he's been pretty ordinary. In what, eight games? What, haven't they played eight?
Nine.
He's probably played two games where he's been okay. Missed a game, and the other five he's been probably average, ordinary to bad.
Yep.
With two rebounding players coming in, you've got Buse there, can lock down. I just don't see a spot for Mullen, and particularly if Duncan stays in the team, which his form, he was okay, wasn't he? He was all right.
So Joel Selwood was down at the club today.
What was he doing down there?
Well, he was down there. His little word to me was, little photo shoot with Mitch for his 300th. So does that tell you that Mitch is playing the next cup? Like, not that that dictates anything.
100%.
But... does that tell you he's playing the next two?
Yeah, I would have thought
300.
Well, I know on what he's done in his last two games, I'm not against that. I think Clark's out. I think Mullen's out.
Ollie Henry,
Ollie Henry possibly out. He's I don't know what's happened there, but it's okay to be, out of place in terms of your position. Someone comes and take it, and we've spoken about Dangerfield, but his fumbling is like. It's off the charts. For a player who's got pretty good hands, he's so low on confidence, it might be time to go back to the twos and try and get the ball 20 times and just get a bit sure-handed again, Kingy, and then come back into the seniors.
Is there any question mark over what Brad Close is offering at the moment?
He's only just going. Jeremy Cameron?
Yep.
The only thing, Kingy, I'll say about Sunday, it's definitely Sunday, wasn't it?
It was definitely Sunday. And this is definitely the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast. 100%.
Is that I, for the life of me, and the coach sort of put his hand up and said they made a mistake, why you've got Jeremy Cameron starting in the middle of the ground to start the game against a midfield that's elite is beyond me. Because I've said this 100 times, Jeremy Cameron is an elite player. He looks like an average player when he gets around the ball anywhere other than forward or centre. He tries things that just don't work.
Yep.
He needs the ball coming to him a certain way. He has great awareness inside forward 50 and close to goal. He has little to no awareness around the ball up the ground or in defence. And that's not a knock. That's just reality. So you've got him starting in the midfield on Callaghan. Wow. He had 10 or 11 in the first quarter.
He was flying.
He was absolutely. And Geelong were on the back foot. And the coach said they made a mistake there and they had to right the ship, and they did. Cameron's only just going, though.
Yeah. The forward line, he's not doing much. The forward line as a whole is...
Dangerfield's probably been the highlight.
Yeah.
Close is struggling. I like Myers. I thought Myers was good. But first Myers game
is
back.
Is he really a forward or is he...
He's a link man, isn't he? Have you ever been a link man?
He's a connector. No, Ben.
What?
No.
Oh, I was a connector once.
Were you?
Yeah.
That's great.
I got a funny... Did I tell a funny story here?
You said you want a short podcast and now you want
to
tell a funny story.
I just got one funny story. And don't cut this out because I'll keep this sort of as not as blue as it needs to be, okay?
Light blue.
Yeah. So this is...
Teal.
This is sort of...
Turquoise.
Yeah. Now, if there's any females listening, they may not find this funny. But this,
probably don't tell it then. No, Ben, you're not telling it. I'll just cut it out. If you're going to offend half the population...
No, I'm not going to offend. I'm not going to offend.
If you potentially...
No, I shouldn't have said that. No. I'm not going to offend anyone. So what happened was... what happened was, I know somebody who was... This is comedy gold. I know someone who was having a birthday party for their young, for their young kids. Okay, and it was a small birthday party and it involved the wife's parents and a few friends of other kids. It was only.
I know you've told this story, and no, you are not telling it. No, no, it's Ben. Don't waste your breath because it's getting cut.
It involved this. Won't cut this out, but it involves. Some mental relaxation, and it involves a Bluetooth gone horribly wrong.
Use your own imagination.
But I might be able to message it to someone if they want to know the story. But anyway, it's very funny. But anyway, Kingy, we've got off track there a little bit.
Yes. Do we want to have a look to this week?
Yes. So we're playing Port,
who we've beaten over there.
We have. I don't think Port are much good, but they're dangerous at home if they bring their A game, which we saw last week. They probably had their chances to beat Adelaide in that showdown.
Yes.
They dominated the last quarter, absolutely dominated it. You know, we've got to... I think the only way Mullen stays in the team would be to go with Butters.
Yep.
I think that's the only hope he stays in the team. Now, we talked about IQ being a gap between Rosie and Mullen. The gap between Butters and Mullen is enormous as well, but... He's a similar size. He's got the power. I mean, Butters is almost impossible to tag, though, because even though he's not that big, he goes and gets the ball.
Yeah.
He hits the ball at speed. Those sorts of players are very difficult to curtail. So I don't know that you can... But in saying that, then you probably can't just let him run free because they're the sorts of games where Rosie will end up getting it 32 times, yep. Butters will end up getting it 37 times, and Horne Francis will have it 24 times and kick three.
Hmm.
So I think they're the three key players.
Yep.
If you can stop Rosie and Butters, their influence on the game, I think it goes a long way to winning because I think they fall away, Port. They've got a lot of sort of plotters. The Wee Willem Drew's a plotter. Good plotter, but a plotter. Ollie Wines, not really.
He's not the player he was, no.
Bergman did a job last week on Dawson.
He's a good player, Bergman.
He's a good player, but he went into the midfield last week and tagged Jordan Dawson. Mm. Does he go back to defence probably to play on Dangerfield?
Their bottom half dozen is worse than Geelong's bottom six.
I agree. So if you can actually limit the capacity of Butters and Rosie, who are their key playmakers who create havoc by their ball use, by their movement, by their... execution, by their awareness, by their footy nous, they're the ones that really hurt. They're the two players that really hurt you. So if Geelong can find a way to curtail them, I think it'll go a long way to winning.
The other thing they've got to stop not do is kick the ball to either Alia or Radaglia.
Well,
Geelong have had issues in the past where Alia has just chopped everything off.
Yeah, surely they'll be aware of that. They're getting some troops back. They'll get some rebound back off half-back with Stewart. Although I still think Stewart might take a week or two to find his feet. Humphreys can hopefully come back and just find his feet straight away. You've got Myers with a game under his belt now. You might have Jack Henry back in the mix in defence. That'll be a slightly different-looking defence. I think if Geelong play well, they'll win.
Yep.
The question mark is, will they play well? They've been up a while, the Cats. They've had some hard games. They've been on the right end and the wrong end of some results. But it's been a pretty hectic period against Hawthorn, Collingwood, Carlton, GWS. They haven't had an easy run of it away from home. I think they're going to have to bring their A game again. And can they bring it is the question.
Yep. Do you want to answer some questions,
Benny? I absolutely love.
Before we do that, just obviously you're aware, Benny, that Robert Walls has passed away.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. Voluntary assisted dying. He'd been battling leukemia and decided no more treatment and passed earlier today.
Wow, how old was Robert?
74.
Wow, he's young.
So I'm going to try and reach out to Andrew Buse to get him on in the pre-game because Busey played under Wolsey at the Bears.
Yep.
And Robert Walls actually made a point of getting Busey to Brisbane to help develop that culture. And Chris Scott spoke really well about it because obviously Walls was Chris Scott's first coach at the Bears and spoke about, if not for people like Robert Walls, I'm not sitting here today talking to you. So,
I dealt with Robert Walls a little bit when I was at Inside Football. Yep. We used to have a segment where we ask a question and I'd ring four or five people to get their response to the footy topic of the time. And he wasn't really up for a chat, per se. But he took the call and answered the question, Skingy, so it was something.
Let's have a look at some of the questions on the... let's go to the KFC X first. Chris Quinnett, evening, gents. Considering we've been without a Fitz, Stewart and Jack Henry, I think our back line's been good. Throwing those two, Collar and Lawson last week, and we win by 10 goals. Surely not even Scotty could justify moving DK from fullback after his past few weeks.
Can't move DK from fullback. That's why Stanley back in gives you that flexibility with Blitzarfs to play a variety of roles. It's worked. We're on the money, Kingy, with all this him playing in the ruck. How good's he looked in defence? I think it'd be insanity to be start putting him back in the ruck at any point now, from unless Geelong are down to Jai Clark having to ruck.
Yep. Well, Tom Atkins had to last week.
He did. He was the number one ruckman for the Cats there. The club won't admit it, but they were barking up the wrong tree with DeConing in the ruck.
Marshall.
Mind you, it may have helped make him... Yeah. Just a harder edge to him playing down back.
Marshall, Giants should request a place at GMHBA every year. Dog walked us again. Infuriating way to lose. Hopefully no more list cloggers next year. I'm counting a handful that won't play a game in 2025. No depth. We're an average side unless everything goes well. Ooh. Okay, Marshall hasn't missed there.
Well, I don't know about that, in fairness.
Well, at the moment, the seven blokes that didn't play last week are all kids. Basically.
Yeah, but they've run GWS, who I think will win the flag.
To 4 points.
Without four of their best, probably six defenders.
Mm.
No Humphreys, no Stewart, no Jack Henry, no Collar Jasny.
Mm. Premiers.
That's a pretty good... And concede them a four-goal head start.
Yep.
And then in the end, probably do enough to win, just inaccuracy cost you. Mm. Don't know about an ordinary side.
Premiers lost composure at the end, but have had four really good games against good competition. Need the defenders to start coming back from injury, and I won't even mention the ruck. How good is Busey?
Yeah, that was good. It was really good to see, and great for Busey's confidence. He's a bit of a versatile defender as well. I mean, he knew on Sunday, wasn't it, Kingy? He knew on Sunday that it's probably why he rang the coach to say, play me. He knew he probably had to play a more attacking role. With no Humphreys and no Stewart. And he did that. But he's also versatile in that if you could say to him, I want you to go and shut him down. So he's probably a good matchup for a player like Darcy Byrne-Jones, who's been in good form for Port Adelaide. So he's a really good matchup for DBJ, as they call him.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
King and Cass. Gain, great call. Bad kicking can't win your games. Boys, is the idea of playing Cameron up the ground? Puts the structure out of the whack.
Absolutely.
Just need to get key players back. Do you think our chances are good for Saturday?
I think they're good. I think they're good if they bring their A game. You just always worry about the Cats that they don't. And Port Adelaide have, we mentioned, they have three or four players who can rack up stats and kill you. And if Geelong's had an Achilles heel over the journey at times, it's been... A lack of intensity leads to the opposition midfield absolutely dominating and racking up high 30 numbers. And we saw it against Carlton when they got beaten. And even to a degree, Tom Green and Callaghan had 30-plus, didn't they? Green had 37.
Yes.
And I think Callaghan might have 29. So yeah, that's their Achilles heel, but their best can win.
Off the Big Footy Forum, Cats09, if there was a mid-season trade period and not just a mid-season draft, what type of player would we look to trade in if we had an open list spot?
Oh, midfielder. A midfielder who can...
Bull?
Yeah, probably. A midfielder who can go in and get the ball, dish it out to the likes of Holmes and Bailey Smith. That's probably what you want. I would have thought, Kingy, that would be... Someone who could do a bit of both would be even better. And That's the play I'm thinking. I think they've got most other bait. I mean, you'd love a ruckman, I suppose, a good ruckman, but you're not going to find one. Those. Well, I mean, Neil and Cameron are there. I don't think you've got Ollie Henry, you've got Dangerfield. I don't think they need a key. They do need a key forward
to inform.
Well, they need a key forward to develop. Yeah, correct. But not. It's not a necessity this year.
My man went all right in the twos last week.
Polkinghorne.
Oh, yeah.
The old Polkinghorne.
Yeah, he's not playing anytime soon, but he's going all right.
You happy with him?
Cat to the future. Do we need to bring back Cramery to get us over the line against GWS
old
at home?
Oh, Stewie Cramery, wore the 36.
Or would we need to chase Thurlow and
Cunico? Hydro be all over that.
Or would we need to chase Thurlow and Cunico as well to put back together the last side we fielded to beat them in Geelong? Tim Kelly was great last time and may be available.
Jordan Cunico, there's a name. Wore 31. The 31. Yep. Who was the other name they mentioned?
Jackson Thurlow.
Jackson Thurlow wore the 40. 40.
Yep.
He took a hanger one day. He was a high draft pick of the Cats. Yeah. Tassie boy, was
he? Pick 15, wasn't he?
Good golfer, too.
Yeah.
Very good golfer. Good low. He was a good fella.
Good fella. If you go through markets.
Did he come back and play in the Cats twos?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, after he went to Sydney.
Yes, that's right. Geez, I got my L's on.
You are on the ball. Hey, happy birthday to your dad, by
the way. Yeah, he hit 95 this week, Kingy.
Avid listener?
Was he extraordinary? No.
he's an Essendon man.
He can't turn the telly on.
You have to go and do it.
Unfortunately. No. Well, no, I'm not joking, you can't. But, he turned 95, so he's had a few issues along the way, old man, but he's done an amazing job. He's actually, touch wood, but he's actually, he's frail and his memory's not great, but he's actually pretty good at the minute.
Good.
Yeah, he went out for dinner to the Grovey.
Oh, nice.
Had a bit of pork belly.
Good.
Yeah, or as my father-in-law calls it, belly pork. It gets it the other way around. But, it was great. 95 is... Yeah,
it's a great effort.
It is.
Do you think SDK is being instructed to play as loose as he is, or is he going rogue trying to pick off intercepts that go over his head? It's like he's trying to play spare in an even numbers back line.
Well, we had Neildy talk about that during the game on Sunday, and he mentioned that he thought that Geelong, it was a ploy, and he'd perhaps been coached to do that against Jesse Hogan, who is one of those key forwards, a bit old-fashioned. He gets a lot of marks on the hit-up lead. So the planning would have been to try and chop those off, and unfortunately it backfired because he was getting it over the back. But in saying that, that's also a byproduct of the ball sweeping down a million miles an hour. Mm. So I think if there's some possibility that had De Koning played him more traditional style, he would have just been leading up marking the ball anyway. Yeah. So they tried something different. It didn't work. Well, we hurt by the fact that Jack Henry wasn't there. Probably we didn't have a rebound from the back half. But there was parts of that game when that ball was just whizzing straight through the middle of GMHBA Stadium, and there's not a lot Sam De Koning could do. So, that's a good point. But I think you're probably cutting some slack because they'll probably never admit it, but I reckon he was coached to play that way against Hogan.
What is going on with the lack of forward half defensive pressure from the half forward flank types? Our defenders weren't great, but they were also hung out to dry by a forward line. The wasted entries and applied no pressure to guys like O'Halloran and Callaghan.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. Tom Green's the other one there. He just got a mountain of it, but he's a different sort of player.
O'Halloran, the amount of times O'Halloran came off half back.
Yeah, they... Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games. I mean, if you were... They'd be saying the same for the Cats, GWS. I mean, they happened to win the game by less than a goal. So they'd be saying, how come we were able to do the same thing? And in essence, we got on top in the second half, 33 inside 50s to 22. We had 14 scoring shots to 7. To 9, sorry. They kicked 7 too. They kicked remarkably straight, which is what won them the game. That was the only thing that won them the game, which Geelong missed their chances, and GWS took theirs. Albeit... Because of their ball movement, a lot of GWS's kicks for goal were relatively easy. They weren't kicking 13 from the on 45 degree angles. They were all relatively easy, and Geelong similar, but they unfortunately just couldn't convert.
Tom Atkins in a centre bounce ruck. I think I had an aneurysm just writing that. Cameron on the ball. Why does Scott do this?
Well, I mean, the Tom Atkins one in the ruck wasn't designed by the coaches. You could see the Cats furiously gesturing to somebody to come into the ruck, and with the 6-6-6, they didn't have time. So in the end, they had to fashion Tom Atkins in the ruck, but it certainly wasn't a ploy from the coaching staff. It was just someone had made a mistake. One of the players had made a mistake about where they should have been, and unfortunately the Cats got left short. But that I can tell you, because I was watching that unfold, it certainly wasn't a coaching direction. It was a cock-up, a player cock-up.
We won the all-important midfield stats, but is this because we're pushing numbers to the contest? Are we rolling the dice, then getting torched, giving away uncontested possession?
Well, whatever it is, Kingy, it worked in the second half because they had more of the ball. So were they pushing an extra number up, perhaps? Was that working for them? Well, clearly. I think at various times in the games, you are going to have an extra number around the ball, or you're going to have your... Every team does it. It just depends how the game's situated, how your team's going, who's got the momentum. I think if you've got the momentum, you like to have your man around the ball. If you haven't, you probably slot someone back to try and halt the momentum. So I think just to say that, you know, Geelong's doing this, every other club's doing the same thing at various times.
Yep.
It's getting it, doing it at the right times in relation to how the game's going is what makes the difference. So capitalising on the momentum, halting momentum, how you do that in terms of the levers you pull and where players play, that's probably the art of coaching. Now, if you get that right more often than not, the opposition, in a game like Sunday, where you've got two evenly matched sides, that can be the difference.
Yeah.
If you're beating Richmond, probably doesn't matter, or you're beating West Coast. But when you're playing Collingwood, Hawthorn, GWS,
Brisbane,
even Port Adelaide this week in a game away from home, you've got to get those things right, and that's the art of coaching.
Jai Clark appeared to sit out basically the whole second quarter, played 55 minutes before being subbed off. Closely only played 17 minutes. That's a combined 57% time on ground between them. Is Jai Clark anywhere near fit enough to run a game out? Even on his 55 minutes, he only got 3 disposals. Supposed to be a contested type player, but all his possessions were uncontested.
Yeah, look, he's struggling. He's struggling. I don't know if it had anything to do with his fitness. He's just not finding the ball, and he's playing on the ball. So that's always not a great scenario. I've stood up for him. I left on Sunday, you know, disappointed for him. He would have known it's an opportunity gone begging. He would have known when he subbed off that the chances are he's out of the side this week. He's down on confidence. But I said to someone, I've been in his corner. I just watching him this year and the minutes that he has played, I don't know what he's really elite at.
Yep.
You would expect a top 10 draft pick to have one elite trait. And I don't know what it is. He's an in-between speed. His skill is okay, but it's not great. He's not a great height. He doesn't appear to kick goals. Do we put that back then on what do the recruiters see?
Cats, 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 cats. Last year we had 90,000 members. Why do we struggle to fill our 40,000-seat stadium? What can we do about
Mother's
this?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day didn't help.
No.
The other thing is, too, you've got so many people who are seat holders who just don't turn up. They don't put it back into the pool.
No.
Like
they just don't show, King. They're no shows.
Yep. Ledger Cat, love the pod, boys. Stanley's been good this year, but will look like weekend at Bernie's if he plays much longer. Do we put a line through Loch Ness Toby this year? What about Mitch Edwards? Is he an AFL prospect in 26 or will he need longer?
He's a big boy, Mitch Edwards.
He is, yeah.
He's a mile away,
he's
though.
Got a pelvis issue at the moment. So
is that not a bed injury as well, is it?
No,
the old pelvis?
Loch Ness... He was out there today, but...
Doing, what was he doing, King?
He was involved in a bit of match simulation.
Oh, was he? Well, that's a good sign. Yeah. He might be getting closer to putting on some footy boots and playing on a weekend, which would be extraordinary.
Cat is 28.
That'd lead the news, wouldn't it? Peter Hitchener. Brian Naylor. He died in the fires, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, sadly.
But Pete Hitchener would lead the news with, and Loch Ness Conway today was sighted wearing boots in a game at Geelong.
Hi, guys. A genuine question, not trying to be facetious at all. What has Jai Clark offered us in his first 20 games and past failures like Charlie Constable, Darcy Lang and Cooper Stevens didn't? Constable could at least find the ball. Lang could bob up and hit the scoreboard. Stevens at least had the body for AFL footy in terms of having a man's body. Injuries an issue, though. Well, he's no longer even on an AFL list. Jai Clark seems to have none of the above, an enormous worry for anyone, let alone a top 10.
Yeah, pick. I fear, unfortunately, King. I fear for Jai Clark now. It's disappointing, but... Yeah, I think, then you turn the blowtorch on the recruiters. You're drafting a bloke who's less than 6 foot, top 10. What are they seeing that thought that he was top 10? I mean, Lockie Fogarty, what did they see that he was pick 22?
Yeah.
Cooper Stevens, what were they seeing there? Darcy Lang was a first round pick. What did they see there? I mean, there's every club could go through and say that. But yeah, it's hard to see. If you're picking a 5'11" midfielder,
yep.
He needs to be elite at something. I don't know whether... Was he elite at the Falcons?
Yeah, he was.
Doing what?
Oh, just an elite player. He found the footy.
Well, look, let's not write him off just yet, but he's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Dudas Maximus says, Geelong fans the most defeatist of them all. Despite the stellar performance over the last 20 years, fans predictably dropped their collective bundles at a four-point loss. Also, why do some teams, recently St Kilda, Carlton, GWS, match up well against us on some grounds? So St Kilda at Marvel, Carlton at the G, GWS at GMHBA.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I mean, St Kilda, we seem to have a great ability to put in two stinking quarters against St Kilda and then make a run, which is to no avail, which happened this year. I think it's a mindset thing. Mm. I mean, if Geelong were playing St Kilda in a final, I'd be back in Geelong every day of the week. But sometimes they just seem to bob up at that time in the fixture when the Cats have maybe had a couple of wins, just take their eye off the ball, and St Kilda are good enough to actually make good on that. So Carlton's the same.
Yep.
We have this ability to play down to some sides. That's why I think maybe we might be right on Saturday, Kingy, because it's an away game.
Yep.
You know that you're on high alert.
Yep.
So that's why I'm thinking the Cats can maybe go again in terms of bringing their best, albeit it's very difficult at this level to play five good weeks in a row.
Yep.
And they've had – I know the Carlton was pretty ordinary. Even in that game, they worked their way back into it. So it's a real big one, though, because it could 6-4 – is a whole lot better than 5-5.
Yeah. Winning last week, 6-3, just gave them that little buffer.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they don't want, it's a really big game. And for both sides as well, they're 4-5.
Yeah. Cats, I think, were 5-4 in 2022, just out of interest, Benny.
They were. They got beaten by 1,000 points by St Kilda.
Yep.
That wasn't in round 9, though, was it? Was that round 9?
Yeah, it was.
Yep. So, and then they didn't lose another game?
No.
They got beaten by like 70-odd points or
something. Nah, it wasn't that bad. It was six goals.
I'm sure at one point it got to 70.
Yeah, let me have a look. The 2022 fixture against St Kilda.
It was a big margin.
The final margin.
No, actually, they kicked 6 or 7 goals in one quarter, in the third quarter, I reckon.
Yeah, looking
and set fire to us.
Looking at Port Adelaide there. I need to have a look at Geelong. Here we go. AFL Main, Geelong.
Yep.
By season, 2022. AFL tables is so wonderful.
You trying to pad yourself?
Final margin was 10 points, Benny.
All right. I was only 65 out.
And the biggest margin of the evening was, just having a quick look, never really got much greater than, Geelong led at times.
Did they kick 6 goals or something in the third?
Geelong.
No, St Kilda.
They kicked 7.
Yeah. That's all went pear-shaped.
Yeah.
I got that bit right.
Yeah. So, also, Khan Catters asked about Jai Clark. We've touched on him, but he's also said, is George Stevens close to a debut? Yes, he is, but I suspect blokes coming back might just squeeze him back down the list a little bit. But he does use the footy well, and he finds it. His lack of leg speed does hurt a little bit.
Well, I mean, he might be a better option than Jai Clark. Because Jai Clark doesn't have great leg speed. If George Stevens can actually find the pill and pick up sort of 15 to 20 touches a game, that might give the midfield a little bit of pop.
Fox Dog 50, as much as our midfield's doing a good job with the tools we have, I think it's worth giving George Stevens a game. I've been an advocate for Clark, but if we're looking to the future, I think it's time to give a natural ball winner a go. Yes, it will be a big step up, but it's time. Any more news in regard to off-season recruitment for next season? How good would Warple be in that midfield to give us more midfield grunt? Apparently he hasn't got a contract offer yet from Hawthorn.
Oh, it's not far away. Yeah. I read during the week that their talks are progressing.
Right.
With the Warpedo.
I won't mention about Ollie Henry, as there'll be 12 other people asking the same question, although it didn't get as much as I thought it would, but yes.
No, he's wow.
Yep.
Can they drop Henry, Mullen, who was the other one? And Clark? I suppose they can.
Yep. And Closey.
Yeah, you got four to come in, yeah. That could be the case, can you?
Daz Bronco said loss last week just for Benny, a flush, and yet so close so far. This is video poker that Daz has been playing. He's based in Vegas at the moment. My parents are there. Daz, you might want to catch up with my folks while they're staying in Vegas for a few days. Yeah, they're over there. Yeah, paying lots of money for overpriced beer and wine.
Yeah.
Vegas has got very, very expensive. That's probably enough. We're not doing Hydro's Heroes this week, Benny, or are we?
Well, we can, King, very quickly.
Okay, what are the numbers?
So the numbers are 9.
Oh, Shane Brewer.
Yeah, 9 and 24. So 9, and this man has a great story, King, Clint Bizzle.
Yep.
So the Bizzinator, he was involved. We don't know whether this is true. This could be absolute horse shit. But
Jennifer Adams?
Did marry Jennifer Adams.
And the White Witch?
What? What was her name?
I don't know.
Horn? Someone Horn?
Fiona Horn?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was she from Def FX? Was she in a band?
Yeah, I think she might have been. Yeah. So, and Biz was Biz had the, he was good in the biz department too. They suggested Kingy, but he was involved in the "Hey fella" incident with Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
When he rolled out to the forward pocket and Gazza looked over and said "Hey fella" and shoot him away and said, "Don't stand over there because you'll get in my way." He was not a bad player. Clint Bizzle went to the D's. Shane Brewer. Yep. Was a South Australian, came across, very good player, Shane Brewer.
And went to Port Adelaide.
Yeah, very sort of, very...
No, he wasn't a South Australian. That's a...
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he was from Horsham. Remember we had him on a few years ago when, before a Geelong-Port Adelaide
game?
Oh,
that's right.
He's running the sports store up there.
That's right.
Yeah, but he went to Port Adelaide.
The old Shane Brewer, he's one of my faves, wore the nine. Yep. Max Holmes is obviously the current nine.
Zach Smith played 50 games.
And well, that wasn't great. James Kelly.
Yep.
Played 250 something?
And 273.
273. I've cut him short there.
So you've got a way up between two.
And Michael Turner.
You've got a way up between
Pops. Well, I think it goes to Michael Turner.
It does, on the wing.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he would have flourished in today's footy, Michael Turner, the way he played. The outside sort of game. He was quick. He was skillful. Him running up and down that wing at GMHBA in today's footy, he would have been an absolute weapon, and he could kick goals.
And do you know what?
Mind you, James Kelly was a pretty handy player, don't forget. Three-time premiership player.
And All-Australian.
Yeah.
The only thing that about Mick Turner about playing on the wing, he only played on one wing. He never played on the outer wing.
No,
he always wanted to be on the...
On the broadcast wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Why not? So we'll give that one to Mickey Turner, but it's some good names here. Clint Bizzle marrying Jennifer Adams was... Jennifer Adams was only about 5'2" or something, but she was what they classified Kingy as, a pocket rocket.
Right. Yeah. And the other number?
The other number, Kingy, is number 24.
Oh, so there's some good ones there.
Yeah, there's some of my favourite players. One of my favourite players of all times in this batch of players wore 24. So
is that Mark Boss?
Jed Buse, who played, yes, Mark Boss. And he didn't say three words, Mark Boss. No. He was a farmer and he just did his business and he was given the Coke and SARS by Malcolm Blight. And I think he was none.
I thought he made the decision himself to
pull the pin. No, I don't think so. My understanding was he... For whatever reason, Blighty had enough of him, right, and he wasn't happy about it.
Because I thought he had whatsoever. I thought he had to go back to the family farm at Wandala.
Well, I don't know. My theory was that he was out of favour, and he wasn't happy.
Played in the 89 granny.
Yeah, very good player, Mark Boss. Tough.
There's only three players that actually, four that qualified. Brian Cousins is actually one of them. In a different world, Ben Cousins would have been a Geelong player.
Yes.
As a father son, he would have qualified.
Well, he came over to Geelong.
Yeah.
Ben Cousins.
Yep.
To check the place out.
He did.
And he went, they took him to APCO and he had a jaffle.
Right.
And then they took him to Kerr's Hire and he got a blower. Oh, I had a blower, Kingy.
Yeah, right.
Did the, during the week.
Did the job?
Well, the one at Ames doesn't work anymore. Right. So I had to hire one.
Mark Blake, stuck on 99 games.
Yeah. Well, Mark Blake played in the 2007 GF.
Yep.
Jed Buse came in on the weekend, did well.
No, Mark Blake played in the 09. He got dropped for
07. Oh, so 09, was it?
He got dropped for 07.
Did he?
Stephen King.
09.
Yeah, he played in 09.
Yeah, right.
Got dropped in 07.
Well, lucky you, Kings. I've got no memory of all that.
And
I remember refreshing wildly after that game, though.
Geelong
the 07 one.
Geelong had a decision to make.
Yeah.
Keep Mark Blake or Shane Mumford?
Yeah, and they kept...
Mark Blake.
Yeah, that's right. Mummy went and got $7 million at Sydney.
Yep.
And the one who came down from Richmond was exciting at the time.
Oh, he was a good
Trevor
player.
Trevor Poole.
Yeah, he was a good player. I reckon he played in the...
We didn't see the best of it, the Cats.
Did he play in the 92 grand final?
He might have.
Let me have a look.
We never saw the best of him at the Cats.
No. He was a good player, though.
But he was.
He kicked a goal in the granny in 92.
He was a handy player. He had a better career at Richmond. And yep. How many games did he play at the Cats?
Just over 50.
How many games at Richmond?
I would have thought the best part of 100.
Yeah.
99 at Richmond.
Yeah.
54 at Geelong.
So we'll have to give that one, Kingy. I'm
Buse or Boss?
Well, I think Boss.
Yep.
Mark Boss was a gun.
Yep.
Busey's a good player. I think Mark Boss was a star. Well, I don't know. He didn't have the profile because he didn't say three words, but he was a... How many games did Boss play?
190-odd.
Yeah, I give it to Mark Boskingy, right, clearly.
Benny,
yes.
The fixture is in.
Oh, the fixture.
So the Cats, we had up until round 16 scheduled when Geelong had the bye. Round 17, Geelong and Richmond will be a Saturday twilight game at GMHBA Stadium, 4:15 bounce. Round 18 against the Giants, David Matthews' request has fallen on deaf ears. That will also be a Saturday twilight at Sydney Showgrounds, a 4:15 bounce. The Cats return for round 19 and take on St Kilda. That will be a Sunday 1:10 bounce
Oh, yeah.
At GMHBA Stadium. Then we have a round 20, and the Cats against North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium on a Saturday night. That is Saturday, July 26. That will be a 7:35 bounce. Round 21, the Cats have got Port Adelaide in another Sunday afternoon game, 3:20 bounce Sunday, August 3. Round 22 is a Friday night game against the Bombers at GMHBA Stadium. That will be a 7:40 bounce. That is round 22. Round 23 against the Swans in Sydney is another Sunday afternoon game, a 3:20 bounce, and round 24 to be scheduled.
Oh, that's very good, Kingy.
So that's the fixture.
The fixture's in, Kingy.
The fixture is in. So
we'll timed it with the NFL fixture.
Yes.
Which was out this morning.
How does it look for your Bengalis?
Well, I haven't been through it yet, Kingy. Yeah. But you know who you're playing in that fixture.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether you play them at home or away. Right. So you knew the opponents.
Yep.
You knew who you were playing away and home.
Yep.
It was more just when the games were, who gets the prime time, all that sort of stuff. So I haven't actually had a look at it, but no doubt Joey B will be on prime time.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.